What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Thought the drama was done. You thought wrong. It's one of my least favorite things to talk about, to report on, but that's what we're going to be doing today. Warriors drama. We'll also spend a little time on last night's game, but for the most part, you know what it is. Coming up next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton, and timing yesterday was good and bad. Bad because as soon as I get off the air and take off, bunch of news breaks. As soon as I get off the air, Draymond Green is sitting tonight. And this was last night, speaking in past tense, present tense, whatever it is. As soon as I finish recording, we hear Draymond Green will not be playing. Okay, they're going to sit him. Maybe they were already going to sit him. Second game of a back-to-back. He's coming back from injury. Nope. He is suspended without pay. On top of that, a lot of press conferences. Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant spoke after the game. A whole lot of things happened while nothing happened at the same time. And we're going to go over all of it. I guess we should start from the beginning-ish. So, Kevin Durant was a free agent in Oklahoma City. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go all the way back there. But end of the game against the Clippers. It's tied up. It was an ugly game. It was tough. Warriors fight their way back. It's 106-106. Lou Williams goes front rim on a jumper. Draymond gets the rebound and starts pushing it up the court with about 5.5 seconds left. And KD was clapping for the ball. He wanted the ball, as he should have gotten the ball. But Draymond said, "F it." And dribbled into three defenders and turnover. Here we go, overtime. And that's it. As they're going to the bench, getting ready for overtime. And by the way, it wasn't just KD who was upset. Klay was also upset. You could see him walking towards the bench, rubbing his head, kind of saying, what the hell happened? And KD says something to Draymond. And again, look, I don't know the specifics, and throughout all the articles that have come out, we haven't gotten the specifics yet of what KD said or if he went too far or wouldn't let it go or whatever. But I have to imagine, I'm working off the assumption that even if he did go too far, Draymond Green, you can't dish it out and not be able to take it. And that's exactly what happened. Kevin Durant was saying, you know, pass me the ball, man. What the hell were you doing? And instead of just saying, you know what, my bad, Draymond unleashed on him and went absolutely nuts, starts calling him out about his free agency, about how he's made this year all about him, and just starts going off. And look, he might be right about what he's saying. That might be the correct, I don't know, opinion take on Kevin Durant's free agency and stuff like that. Absolutely wrong time. So here's the deal. Right message, wrong messenger, wrong time. And that's usually the case with Draymond. It usually is the right message, wrong messenger. But it was just unnecessary on Draymond's part. And I have a couple of analogies as far as what happened. It was similar to when a ref makes a bad call, bad foul call or something, and then tees up the player for complaining about the call. It's like you're just compounding a bad call with another bad call, a bad move with another one. And that's kind of what Draymond did. It's kind of similar to, it's like if you're arguing, it's like a couple. And, you know, let's say the wife is 20 minutes late and the husband goes, you know, you were 20 minutes late. What's going on? And she goes, well, you gambled away our savings and cheated on me. It's like, well, okay. You might be right about that argument that I've done things wrong, but that is a extreme response to my minor complaint. And I'll put it this way. KD, to me, he was right in that situation. Draymond should have given up the rock. And, yeah, Draymond should have just said, my bad. But at the same time, I think Draymond's right about his feelings as well. I just think the time and the messenger were incorrect. So, in lieu of this, and it was in public, on the sidelines with 100 cameras around, and look, we all love Draymond. I love Draymond, but he can be a loose cannon. And has been for 7 years in the NBA. Probably for, what, 28 years? Because he's 28 years old. But nothing like explaining a joke, right? But the bottom line is he handled it incorrectly. And I was going to make the point that two things could have avoided this whole thing. A timeout, Steve, okay, when Steph's not on the floor, and I know Steph was hurt, he wasn't going to be able to get him on the but when there's 5.5 seconds left, I want a timeout at the end of regulation, unless Steph is out there. Or Draymond just saying, my bad. My bad, let's go win this game. And it wouldn't have avoided Draymond's feelings and apparently other players' feelings in the locker room about KD's free agency and kind of how he's handling it, because apparently that's a lingering problem. But it would have avoided how it got handled. It would have avoided it being in public on the sidelines with 100 cameras around to see them going at it. You know, Draymond should have handled it with a tough, civil conversation with KD behind closed doors, either before this or after this. It should not have been in the middle of a game for the world to see. So would a timeout or Draymond, you know, apologizing have avoided the whole thing? No, because that's still a problem. But would it have avoided the public display that was put on? Yeah, probably. So in the aftermath, Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, get together and decide to suspend Draymond for one game, which I am fine with. Maybe it was a little harsh, but they felt it had to be done. And it's not, and here's the thing. I read a ton of pieces and a lot of people saying they're siding with Kevin Durant. Maybe. But more than anything, man, I feel like they're also trying to curb some of Draymond's poor reactions and poor tendencies that, hello, cost them a championship. So the idea that it was just them siding with KD and they just want to keep him, not really, man. They also are trying to keep this guy under control so he doesn't have these destructive tendencies that not only get him kicked out of the finals, they also cause problems internally when he tries to fight Steve Kerr and goes after Kevin Durant in the middle of a game. They're trying to say, hey, man, there are repercussions for your actions. Can you please once think before you blow a gasket? And I also read people saying, you know, oh, well, he apologizes after. Why does that make that okay? That doesn't make his original actions okay. And I love Draymond. I think Draymond is as important to this team as anyone. I just think that the simple breakdown of it's them siding with KD and Draymond's an angel is incorrect. Draymond plays the victim all the time. All the time. Just about every single foul call, he's the victim. So, I think it was harsh, but I don't think it was just as simple as Steve Kerr and Bob Myers saying, hey, we'd like to keep KD, so let's suspend Draymond. I think it's 7 years of Draymond acting a fool, and talent equals tolerance. But at a certain point, you have to take a step to say, Draymond, there are things you can't continue to do. You don't own this place, man. You know, like, you just can't get away with everything and then come back a couple days later and say, my bad. So, again, the idea of maybe they shouldn't have suspended him. They should have fined him behind the scenes and, you know, said he was resting for the Atlanta game. Maybe. I also read that someone that because his blow up, that's what happened when he blew up at Steve Kerr in OKC, was that this wasn't as bad as that one. So he was surprised that the punishment was that much worse. Well, you know what? If your first DUI, you blow a .22, and then in your fifth DUI, you blow a .09, that doesn't mean your punishment is going to be less than your first DUI. Like, these are problems that have continued to happen. So at a certain point, they felt they need to do something. I'm sure it's a nice byproduct that maybe it helps them try and retain KD. But I just don't agree with the fact that it was as simple as, well, we're trying to keep KD, so we have to suspend Draymond. Draymond hasn't been the perfect angel for 7 years, 8 years, however long he's been with the team. It's been contentious at times because of him. So I think it's also an attempt to try and curb some of his, you know, poor reactions to things. I mean, he's gotten into it with tons of teammates. And you just can't allow that. So, I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. It's been dramatic. But I think the best part is we got some great quotes from Clay and Andre about everything. Here is what Andre had to say about whether or not they could win a title, you know, get together and win a title this year.
Somebody say it was his old school pimp. He said you would never be able to climb the mountain if it was smooth. That was Spice Adams. Yeah.
Bill Spice Adams.
You can't climb the mountain if it's smooth. So you gotta have some rough spot. That was funny though.
I don't even know how I remember that. My wife, I'm talking to her. My wife was listening to him on the list to the right. So she likes Spice Adams though. Don't you?
I do.
That is Andre just being a legend. If you can't tell, it's the video's a little better because I played the whole thing through as he's laughing about it, and you heard at the end there, his wife was listening on his Apple Watch, I guess, and that was her chiming in at the end saying, yeah, she likes Spice Adams. And for those who don't know, Spice Adams is a former NFL D tackle who is, I don't know how, he's an analyst for the Chicago Bears, but he's also, like, I don't know how else you'd say it, an internet personality, kind of a comedian. He does, like, his own sketches and stuff. And this is the original quote from our man Spice.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
I would suggest you all go follow Spice on Instagram and Twitter. One of my favorite follows. Dude's hilarious. I love that Andre brought that up. I'm bringing a little levity to this situation because we can report on it all we want right now, but no one knows what's going to happen and how it's going to play out. It could be fine. I do imagine Draymond is smart enough to sit down with KD and try and smooth things out, whether KD accepts it or not. There's a lot of possible outcomes that could happen, but we won't know until they do. So Clay also had a great answer as to what it would take for the Warriors to right the ship and for everything to be all right. Here's what Clay had to say.
A win on Thursday and a win on Saturday and Sunday. So once we go on a little win streak, it will not matter. And this will be in the past like a ponytail.
Clay is coming with some great quotes this year. As a guy who used to have a ponytail, I appreciate it. Clay, another thing that came out throughout all this drama is Clay was the one to stand up in the locker room after the game because apparently it carried over to the locker room. And Clay said, you know, we all want to win. That's what this is about. Every single one of us wants to win, and the only team that can beat us is us. So Clay's finding his voice a little bit. And that saying, too, I can't imagine. He either made it up on the spot or it's something that Michael Thompson has said. And like eight other people know it. Because I've never heard that saying before. But I love it. Steve Kerr also, when asked about the chemistry and things like that and whether this team will be able to get it together, here's what Steve had to say. And he also brought up his infamous fight with Michael Jordan. This is what Steve had to say about it.
Really high level, and you're competitive. Things happen. Every team that I've ever been on, things have happened. By the way, I kicked MJ's ass.
Friggin' Steve Kerr, man. I'll tell you what, one of the good things about this whole drama situation is we've gotten some good quotes. I just played three of them for you. Like I said, we don't know what the future holds as far as this whole situation goes. We'll just have to wait and see. I do this almost every podcast. Go subscribe to The Athletic. They've been covering this incredibly. Marcus Thompson, who is basically part of the team as far as his knowledge of the inner workings and the players there and having their trust, has a great piece out about this whole thing and just the way it's played out and kind of the feelings as far as the organization's concerned, as far as Draymond's concerned, where KD's at. It's a great read. Ethan Strauss has a good one out. Like, if you guys are interested in this, I would definitely suggest you subscribe to The Athletic and go check out what they've written because they cover it top to bottom. I should basically work for them, how much I plug them on here, but I don't. I just think they do great work. To kind of wrap up the drama thing, because there's only so much we can say, and I've gone 15 minutes so far about it already, but Ethan Strauss brought this up, and I've brought it up before also, and I don't know how this plays directly into Draymond's suspension, but he's mentioned that the Warriors don't want to pay him what he kind of wants to be paid. Because he wants to win Defense Player of the Year, he wants to get the Supermax. And I've mentioned it before, I've felt that if he's eligible for it, they shouldn't give it to him. And I don't even know how they feel about giving him his just regular max. So we'll see. I don't know how it plays exactly into this situation, but it's just worth mentioning. It's been a lot of drama. We'll have to see what the next step is, the next chapter in this story. We'll figure it out once Draymond finally speaks, whether it's Thursday before the Rockets game or does something on social media or The Athletic or Players Tribune or something before then. I kind of doubt it. I think we will have to wait and see Thursday, and it'll be interesting to see how they play against a Rockets team that's been playing well, been playing better. No word yet on whether Steph will be playing or not. I think we're going to get an update sometime today. I kind of doubt it, but we'll see. You never know with the Warriors and with Steph, since they're so kind of hush-hush on the injuries that we're forced to make our own guesses, and then I'm usually wrong every time about it, so we'll see. This is a drama-filled episode of Locked On Warriors. Coming up next, we're actually going to cover some of the game and then look forward to this road trip they got coming up. It's Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over all the drama happening in the Golden State Warriors world. I think I covered it all. Without a lot of it being just pure speculation, there's only so much I can say. So hopefully they get it figured out. Everything is all good. I do think they will get it figured out. I do think that they'll be able to get over it, at least for this season. Who knows what the future holds for this team, for KD, even for Draymond somewhat. But I think this year they'll be able to get it figured out. And Rachel Nichols had a great point, and Steve Kerr mentioned it also. And I truly believe it, because if you look at any team, and I know we have this vision of the Warriors being love and kumbaya and joy. It's not the case, man. There's always been friction and problems in the locker room, and with every single locker room. And I was saying, Rachel Nichols pointed it out, and Steve Kerr did too. Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face, and then they went on to win a championship. So that kind of stuff you can get through. It wasn't a great look, but I think they'll be fine. So back to the game against the Hawks. Luckily, they were playing the Hawks, because I don't know if they would have won this game playing just about anyone else. They looked tired. They looked emotionally tired, physically tired. Steve Kerr, before and after the game, looked just spent. The decision to suspend Draymond wasn't an easy one for him, and I think it really weighed on Steve and Bob because they both love Draymond. But at a certain point, you got to try something. You got to try something. When he hurts your team a number of different times, you know, talent equals tolerance, but at a certain point, you got to try something. So they all look tired. They look spent, look like they had trouble, and no one really had a good game. I think the only player that had a good game, Jonas Jerebko and Jordan Bell. Everyone else just kind of squeaked through. Damian Jones, sloppy first half. Going to start with Damian most of the time because that's, you know, the one player that we're looking to develop. Jordan Bell also, but I'll get to him in a minute. Damian Jones, it was a solid matchup for DJ against Alex Len. Jones made some mistakes, obviously, but it was fine going up against a big body like Len. A lot of missed shots early, and a lot of missed shots throughout the game. I mean, when I tell you the numbers here, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. Sloppy, disengaged, tired. It was just an ugly first half, first quarter for sure. And Oracle was dead. Oracle, they knew what the situation was, and the fact that the team came out with very little energy, the arena had very little energy. So Oracle was dead. It was just a sloppy first quarter for sure. Second quarter, Jordan Bell started the second quarter. He brought energy, not just for himself, for the team in the arena. He got people going. He had a great, probably the best minutes he's played so far in this his second year. Ton of energy, couple blocks, couple rebounds, an assist, couple buckets as well. He ended with 6 points, two rebounds, one assist, two blocks in 11 minutes. That's not bad. And it was just a ton of energy that these guys needed and did not have in this game, and it's also part of why I think Jordan Bell should have gotten a shot at Montrezl Harrell against the Clippers, but that was two games ago. I need to get over it. Very encouraging minutes from Jordan Bell. He's been, you know, stuck to the bench, which was not a good thing for him, for the team. So good to see him get some minutes and perform well. He's needed it. And the Warriors need it too. As I've said, the importance of finding players through the draft, first or second round, especially second round or undrafted, like Alphonso McKinney, Quinn Cook, is so important for a team that's this top heavy. So he played well. Klay was doing a great job of playmaking for the Warriors, and he's done a better job this year. He ended with 4 assists, but he probably could have had 7 or 8 if every single, you know, assist, every single shot was made. He did a great job of driving and dishing, kicking out to 3. Quinn Cook, I think every single one of his 3, he only went 2 for 7. I think both of them were assisted by Klay on a driving kick. Klay did a great job of it, not just this year, but specifically this game. He made a point of trying to get other people involved, which was great. Kevin Durant was kind of sloppy. I don't know. Without him telling me that the whole situation is affecting him, I can only speculate. Maybe it was he's tired from the back-to-back. Maybe it's just a combination of everything. But he was kind of sloppy. He went 9 of 23, 0 for 3 from 3. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Fine. And he ended with 29 points. That's the thing. Even on a bad night, KD is going to get his numbers. Part of that is he, you know, went 11 of 11 from the free throw line. So I thought he was sloppy, tired, kind of all the above. And I'm sure it is weighing on him. I'm sure it's a tough situation or who knows. Who knows? But everyone also looked kind of sloppy. Klay, even though he did have a solid night, he was still 8 of 19. So not great. Ended with 24 points. The 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals is the most encouraging part because those are things he doesn't always do. So getting that going was good to see from Klay. A lot of open shooters for Atlanta. The Warriors kind of got lucky that they were playing Atlanta, like I said. Klay and KD. Klay ended the half 4 of 11, KD 4 of 10. So not great starts for either one of them. In the third quarter, I would have liked to see Jordan Bell start the third quarter because he was the best player. He might have been the best player in the first half, or probably second best, because Jonas Jerebko had his best game as a Warrior, ended up with a double-double, 14 points, 13 rebounds, four of them offensive. He also went 4 of 7 from 3, 5 of 10 from the field. Jonas Jerebko has been so good for the Warriors and exactly what they need, and he really understands what it is to be a role player on this team and this offense. And it's something that I've mentioned before also, where a guy like Jerebko understanding his role can be more valuable than getting, say, a better all-around player and trying to fit him into this role. It's why I think Klay Thompson is the best number two in the league and would be the best number two for any team next to any superstar, whether it's Westbrook, Harden, Steph, KD, and Klay, however you want to look at it, LeBron, because he understands the role of a number two on a basketball team, where if you look at, we'll just go with OKC, Paul George, probably a better overall player, but you're trying to fit a borderline number one into the things that a number two does. So anyways, as I go off on that, Jerebko's been great. Klay's great. Let's move on. Kevon Looney has struggled the last couple games. I think we're kind of seeing that he's great with Steph and KD and Klay and Draymond. He's great when he's a great piece to have when he's surrounded by those players. But when you're asking him to do anything more, he's not really very good at it. But in his normal role, he's pretty great. Torian Prince, shout out Torian Prince of the Hawks. That guy's nice. Did a great job on KD defensively. He reminds me of Ariza a little bit, about 6'8", you know, 220, long, quick. And then offensively, he was solid, kind of petered out there at the end. I want to give Damian Jones a shout out. He did a good job, a little hustle plays, a little more aggressive on the boards recently. He had a nice sequence where who was he guarding? Bazemore. He did a good job on some smaller players on the perimeter. Guarding Bazemore, he stayed down the entire time. Bazemore kicks it to, I forget who, Horder or someone, and shot clock's winding down, and DJ comes to help, gets the block, shot clock violation, and he gets the dunk on the other end, I believe, from KD. So, you know, I just want to give him a shout-out. You see glimpses of what you hope he can become, but again, he's been ever since those first four games, he's been hit or miss. That's about it. Warriors won. KD was short in his press conference. Clearly still kind of upset about everything, as you could tell. You know, that's about it. Pretty standard game. They kind of sleptwalked through it. Good to see him get the win, because it wasn't a sure thing that they were going to win. They beat him by 7. So that's about it. Come on back. Gonna look at the road trip and tonight's games. And it's Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back. Two Locked On Warriors, Charles T. Hamilton, what up? Just want to go over the upcoming games for the Warriors. They go to Houston on Thursday. That should be an interesting game, knowing the history between those two teams. And then I believe it is a back-to-back with Dallas the next night. And then I forget who they get after that. I don't know. But the most interesting part is just going to be to see how they manage. Can they come out and play well, or did they come out and get at each other's throats and not play well? So we'll see. And it's actually Houston Thursday, Dallas Saturday, San Antonio Sunday. And then I have OKC at home next Wednesday. So these are all interesting games. But the most interesting part is going to be how they react and how they, I don't know, come together. Hopefully they can figure it out, but it'll be interesting if not. As far as tonight's games go, let's see, League Pass games. I don't know, nothing great. Blazers Lakers. I remember the first time they played, that was interesting, and we'll go with Grizzlies Bucks. Check those out. Pacers Lakers, Grizzlies Bucks. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace!
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.